Hello, 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 mamas, and welcome to another episode of Angel Moms Hopes of Heaven, brought to you by Alana Song. I'm Angela Presley, your host for today. And today I'm excited to interview a mom, an angel mom, I will say. Her name is Tammy Leslie, and I've just been excited about interviewing her this week. She is here to talk to us about her Christina. Tammy, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very much.
So what I do, how I start off every podcast, I ask the moms to share whatever they want us to know about their baby. Let us love on your Christina. Yeah, we're moms first here.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever you want to start, baby, whatever you want us to know about your baby, go ahead.
Well, Christina, she was my only daughter. And thank you for having me, by the way.
Yes.
Wonderful to be here.
Pleasure.
She was my only daughter, and I have three boys. And they were all boom, 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 boom. I had them all at the same time, practically. Mm-hmm. And when she was born, it was just her and my oldest. And they were really, really close. Mm-hmm. And then I pushed for that third, and we got twins. So when they were born, she thought that she was like a little Mother Hubbard to them, you know. And she was always with them and would climb in their crib and would read to them, which is just like showing them pictures and pretending she was reading, you know, and I find her in the crib with them and reading to them and everything. And she would just hover over them, and she just loved her little twin brothers. And she was just a great, great baby. She was just such a great baby. She walked early. She when, you know, she potty trained early, she just did everything on time, like was great. Uh-huh. And in school, she was great. She was like a leader personality, and she didn't care what anybody thought about her. She would just lead the way. She had her own like style. She had her own, she didn't care what anybody thought. She would enter the room and everybody was like, she was like a magnet personality. And she just like literally just made her own like trends. Like, she was funny. She was just a funny kid. She had tons of friends, and she played tons of sports. All my kids did every single sport there was. She was involved in gymnastics. She did horseback riding. She did dance. All the sports, softball and soccer and everything. And then when she got into fifth grade or sixth grade, I think it was sixth grade up at the middle school, it kind of things took a little change. Mm-hmm. And she started to get bullied.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I guess it was just because, you know, it's that people, I think the girls, like in middle school's hard.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
And especially with girls, they can be really mean and nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they were like really jealous of her, or
yeah.
They were like really worried about it, like kind of like, ooh, she's mm-hmm. really, I'm scared of her.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they picked on her. And she took a lot in that whole year of school, and she would come home like really upset, and the girls were started to be really mean and nasty to her and cliquish, and she would cry every day and say that she hated it and she wanted to switch schools, and the whole year. So seventh grade, I switched her to Catholic school, and she loved it. And she went to Catholic school for seventh and eighth and ninth grade.
Yeah.
And she made lots of friends there, and she adjusted really well. And at that school, those schools, she did cheerleading, and which she did all throughout the other schools, cheerleading mm-hmm. and softball. And she made lots of friends.
Yes.
And but when she got to the high school in ninth grade, she was still having a blast, lots of friends, doing mm-hmm. the whole cheerleading squad thing, but she wasn't doing well with her academics.
Yeah.
And I couldn't afford four kids to be sending her to a tuition with, mm-hmm. you know, Catholic school. It's expensive. I don't know how my dad sent me there with five kids.
Yeah.
With all of us, but, you know, because it's really expensive. And I warned her that whole year of ninth grade that if she didn't pull her grades up, I was going to have to switch her. And if she didn't try harder and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. And I guess she didn't believe me. And I kept warning her and warning her and warning her. And I didn't know what to do. So at the end of ninth grade, I made the decision reluctantly, very reluctantly, like I didn't know what to do, to switch her back to her school in 10th grade. And that was really the worst decision I ever made and in my life. And I really shouldn't have ever made it. And I have a lot of regret and guilt for that decision. And it was just really, so it was the worst decision I made. She went back and then she just kind of got in with the wrong crowd. And she didn't do any of her sports and things that she was into. She got out of all that. And anyway, so 10th and 11th grade and 12th grade, she just kind of didn't do well. She started to get in all kinds of trouble up at the high school. And I don't know. She would just leave high school in the middle of the day and take a little stroll to Walmart and then come back. I'm like, what are
I've
you
heard of
doing?
this. I've heard of
I
this.
would get called up to the high school, oh, your dog just left and went to Walmart and came back and walked right into class like it was no big deal. I'm
Like,
like,
no big
what?
deal.
Oh my gosh.
I've heard of
Yeah.
this.
Anyway, so she got into some trouble and she met her boyfriend and got into some more trouble. And anyway, so fast forwarding it, she started to get into some doing some drugs and stuff with her boyfriend. He got her into some things, and she was just smoking marijuana and drinking and stuff initially. And then she started to get into some other things. And then she got pregnant with Caden, my grandson, my sweet little grandson. And she had him, and she was such a great mom to him. And she did good on and off. Like, she tried really hard. She was such a great mom to him. She loved her grandson. I mean, her son, my grandson, she loved him so much more than anything in the whole world. And, but it's hard when you have, she had some mental health issues then at that point. She just kind of turned into like a whole different person. She wasn't her leader personality anymore. She just started to become like a different girl. Like, she wasn't her, her, like, she was just more like depressed and anxiety and, I don't know. She started a phase of like cutting, and she just had a whole bunch of mental health things going along with her addiction. And it was just kind of not good, and it made me so sad. We just struggled and we would fight all the time, and it was just awful. And then, fast forwarding a little more, she then had Colton, my other grandson. And so Caden and Colton, and then her love of her life, the dad of my two grandsons, he died. He died of an overdose. And after that, she went downhill really fast after that. Like, she was devastated. It was beyond devastating to her. She just like couldn't handle it. And it was just bad. And that was in 2019 or 2018, 2018. And then in 2020, during the pandemic, pandemic started in what, like March? And in June, I remember her calling me. She had her in a little apartment, and I remember her calling me and saying, "Mom, I have nowhere to go for meetings. Everything's closed down." She was so isolated in her apartment, and she couldn't do like any meetings or anything. And that was it. Like, that was just really. And so anyway, she died on June 11th of 2020, ultimately of fentanyl poisoning. Really, ultimately, it was fentanyl poisoning. So with that, with fentanyl poisoning, I don't know if you know a whole lot about that, but there's not, you don't have a chance with that. There's no chance with fentanyl because it's just everywhere. It's in everything. And so whether she ever wanted to get clean and have a nice productive life for the future for her children, she didn't have that chance anymore because it was taken away from her. So at the age of 25, she died, my beautiful Christina. And her boys were devastated, and my husband and I are now raising them. So it just killed me. My heart was broken because she's just so young. And for her boys to have no parents, like, it's awful. It's really awful. you know, my heart breaks for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I talk to a lot of other moms who've lost children for the same way, in a similar way like that, you know, a lot of them will say to me like, wow, you're really lucky that at least you have like her children, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that is true.
Yeah.
I mean, in a sense, I am fortunate to have them because they're an extension of her. You know what I mean?
I do.
So when I look at them, I can see like different, her personality in Colton, he has her personality and, you know, he has her eyes, her blue eyes, and Caden, you know what I mean? So they each have like little things from her. So I do have that sense of, at least I have that.
Yeah.
You know, I feel fortunate in that way.
Yeah.
At least.
And we try to look for the, you know, the pros.
I know. There's no pros in anything, but when I see other moms who don't have that, then I'm like, oh gosh, at least I have that.
Yeah. See, I don't have that.
I don't have this.
Right after Alana, I'd like to say moved to heaven. Right after Alana moved to heaven, my son had a daughter.
Oh.
So I have a granddaughter. And we see so much of Alana and my granddaughter.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So I get it. I get what
heartwarming.
Yeah. I get what you're
that's
saying.
So wonderful. I'm gonna cry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot that you gave us.
Yes.
So
that's a very shortened version. There's a lot of ugly that was in there. Mm-hmm. You don't want to hear that. This is supposed to be healing and heartwarming for people.
Yeah. But you know, we also dig into some pieces if moms feel comfortable about it, because it lets other moms know, hey, I'm going through that too.
Mm-hmm.
I had it rough like she did.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, but then there's hope. I mean, there's so much hope, and I have learned after going through so many different, you know, when she died in that June, I just literally immersed myself almost immediately in groups and healing this and healing that and self care, self-help meetings, because it was all Zoom. But like every night of the week, basically, I was doing like Zoom this and Zoom that and grief this and grief that and webinar this and webinar that and this and that. And I was trying to help myself any way I could.
Yeah, because we're in a fog and we're lost in this fog.
I needed to connect with people that knew.
That understood.
Mm-hmm.
We are trying to find our way.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Because believe me, I could have. Well, I couldn't have because I had the boys. But if I didn't have the boys, I could have easily just climbed into a bed and just stayed there.
And checked out. That's what I did.
Yeah, no, I know. And some people do. Yeah. And fortunately, it looks like you got yourself out of that bed.
Yeah.
No, that's not a place you'd want to be. Because I feel like our children, I've learned a lot in the last 3 years. And I can say to help other people, I have learned a lot. And I just feel strongly that our children would not want us to be, you know, sad. They would not want us to live the rest of our life unhappy and not living our life full. I feel like it would even be a dishonor to them.
Yes.
Right?
That's good.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I feel like they would, you know, if I could hear my daughter telling me, she's probably like, you know, get your act together. You know, what are you doing?
Yeah. Mom, snap out of it.
Yeah. Snap out of it. I could hear her like in my head, you know, like, come on.
Come on, Mom. Get it together. Yeah. Because once we get a grip on, and you know, it's hard. Once we get a grip on, they're fine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're fine.
My God, you're in peace. They're in peace. They're in happiness. She's in wonderful, like,
bliss.
She has no worries. She has no self-loathe anymore. And because she really loathed herself. She hated herself for what she was doing to her family at the end.
Mm-hmm.
She despised herself. Like, she had a lot of, she was at her lowest of low.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have any of that anymore.
Right.
And that's one thing I can say is like she's at peace. She's not hurting anymore. She's like with God. She's
Yeah.
just, she's in Jesus's arms with God, with all of our loved ones that have gone, all my family, my mom, my dad. You're with her. I know they're with her. And
What
so
better?
I don't have to worry about what she's doing and where she's at. I really don't. I mean, I miss her. Oh my gosh, like crazy.
Crazy.
You know, I look for signs everywhere. You know, I'm always looking for signs.
Me
Like,
too.
where are you, Christina, today?
Me
I talk to her
too.
all the time.
Me
I'm like,
too.
come on, Christina, show me a sign
Show
today.
me something.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's not just me.
No, it's not just you. God, no. I think it's every mom who's lost a child. Totally true. Every mom. We just need to see, like, okay, I know that bird was you, or, you know.
Yeah.
I know that rainbow was you sent me personally.
Yes,
that
personally
rainbow.
Me. Never mind the rainstorm.
Yeah.
That's for me.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's a penny that's been on the arm of my chair that I seen a couple of days ago. I have not moved the penny. Where did the penny come from? I don't know.
Isn't that weird? Seriously.
Yeah. So
the weirdest things.
Yeah. So I'm like, Alana, I see you.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever. And they want to hear that. They hear us talking. Mm-hmm. I totally believe that too. So when you see things and you see signs, talk to them and tell them, thank you. I see that you sent me that.
Yeah.
Thank you for sending me more. Like, you know, send me more signs.
Definitely.
I would love to dream about her more. She doesn't let me. And I'm so open to it. I try to be open to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open, Christina. Like, I'm ready for you to come to me in my dreams.
Right.
Right. Once or twice in the last 3 years. Not a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't do it a whole lot. I don't know why.
Do you mind sharing? The reason I ask, I'm a dreamer. I'm real big on dreams. And I write my dreams down.
Okay.
So I'm like you. I'm like expecting. Come on, come on. So
do you remember them? Do you remember them clearly?
I do. And even if they get foggy, I go back to my journal.
That's so great that you remember a lot of them.
Yeah.
I take a lot of prescriptions. And I think that like maybe the one I take at night, one of the ones I take at night, I read somewhere that, of course, you know, that can block or impede. Like it's certain prescriptions maybe that you take can block or impede, which makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they can block or impede your, you know, they will put you, well, no, because they would probably put you in more of a deep REM sleep.
Deep REM.
So when do you dream? When do you have those dreams that you would remember? So I'm having the dreams in the deep REM sleep or whatever. I'm just not remembering them.
Because
she very well could be coming to me.
Uh-huh.
And she's probably getting pissed off at me because I'm always yelling at her like, Christina, you're not coming to me in my dreams. And she's probably saying, yes, I am. You're just not remembering.
Yeah.
So
definitely. You know. I sleep, pen and paper is right where I can grab it.
Yeah.
Where I can grab it. So and even if it's 3-4 in the morning, once I wake up, I immediately grab it, the pen and paper. So I won't forget.
I know, because you forget like almost instantly.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the details, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a thing that I always like to encourage moms to look for the signs because they're there. Look for the dreams because they're coming. So I'm a firm believer that they want to let us know we're fine. Mm-hmm. We're having a great time.
I agree.
You know, go about your life and not, let's be clear. We're still going to have our days.
Oh, absolutely. Totally. Don't think that this smiley face is like, no.
Yeah.
No, there's absolutely days where I'm so upset. Like, I mean, I could just be driving and start crying.
Oh, yeah.
The car is the thing for me. I don't know. Everybody has their thing,
yeah.
but the car is the thing for me when I have quiet in the car without the boys.
Yes.
So that's my location. Not everybody has a location, but
you
know, I let it out in the car and then I'm okay. You kind of have to not hold it in and you have to work through it and not hide it and not put it down, like push it down. That's my thing to tell people. you know, work through it and let it go. Don't hide it and don't ignore it and work through it, because it'll help you move forward. So, and I always said, like, you know, you're moving forward with them. You know, they're in your life. They are in your life still. They're with you. They're around you. You're not leaving them behind. You're not, you know, they're with you. Always. They always will be. They're your child. They're a part of you. You just can't see them physically.
Yeah.
You can feel them. Hopefully you can feel them, or you will eventually be able to feel them, I would think. Or, you know, wear their clothing, wear their whatever.
Yeah.
Get a comfy blanket of theirs, or get, you know, whatever makes you feel good.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
No.
Yeah. It's the definitely the hugs and the kisses. The physical part is
the worst.
It's definitely the worst. Definitely.
You know, if only I had one more hug or one more, you know, the little if onlys do creep in, but
yeah.
Just not, I know, it's just that's the hardest part. If only I got to say goodbye.
Yeah.
If only, you know, we were fighting too at the very end. You know, we weren't getting along, so it was hard because we didn't, we weren't, you know, she would just call. I was watching the kids at that point in time because she wasn't doing good. So she would just call me and say, hey, put the kids on. Like, we weren't even,
yeah,
our relationship was very strained.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just a lot of guilt. I had to work through a lot of guilt.
Wow. And I can imagine with it, being like the drugs, how there's a frustration. There's a frustration because
I didn't understand it at all at first. Like, going through it, I didn't understand it. Now I do, totally. I mean, but I didn't get it was a disease at first. Like, I just didn't understand it. I didn't understand why she couldn't just stop. Like, I just, why can't you just stop? What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
I was just couldn't even, I was just, that was the guilt afterwards. Like, cause I feel like, gosh, what was wrong with me? Why would I be like that as a parent? Why would I not understand that she was going through this and couldn't stop? Like, she had a disease. Like, what was wrong with me? Why would I be so mean and harsh on her sometimes? But then, you know, I have to think, well, I was looking at it from a parent who was just worried and scared to death for her. And was so scared, you know. I had the police call me tons of times. I, you know, didn't know where she was tons of times.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it was just such a situation. So
yeah, and with when you were speaking about high school, and with her doing things and the Walmart thing and the
I can laugh about it now.
Yeah,
things she did.
In our minds,
only Christina,
as moms, we're thinking, that's what, you know, they're just going through the teenage.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would think. Yeah. Initially, I'm like, okay, Christina, this is like the 20th time I've been up to the high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meeting in the high school office. You're killing me here.
And you try to think back on, you know,
I did in high school, you know.
Yeah. The things I did in high school, they're just going through their thing. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to get it eventually and get on the ball, get on the right track.
Yeah.
But
I think, like, with her situation, when the boys were born, once Caden was born, and then 2.5 years later, Colton was born, it made such a difference, though, because then that really changed everything. Because then, you know, then I was really... had to really start worrying about them.
Yeah.
And what kind of impact everything she was doing was having on them and their life and on my husband and I, and impact on us and our lives, and just the whole dynamic of everything was really changing. And, you know, so, you know, kids do change everything. So, you know.
Yeah. Did she feel as if you guys were like edging her out?
Yes, you got it, you hit it right on the dot. She totally did, and there was a lot of resentment for that. She really thought that we were like trying to take her children away from her. You know, she she thought, like, what are you doing, mom? You're trying to take my kids away from me. I'm a good mom. You can't tell me what to do with the kids, blah, 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 that kind of thing. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. With the, do you think that made her cling more to the boyfriend since, she felt, you know, edged out with her family? Then, you know, he's all I got.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. They both, I mean, I just feel so bad. I'm like, what? I just don't, all she really wanted was just to have like a little family with her and him and the kids. It's just, he wasn't right for her.
And of course,
we did not like him at all at the time. We did not like him at all.
And she didn't hear that, of course.
No. Mm-mm.
Of course.
No.
You know, and
he had his own issues, obviously. Mm-hmm.
So what would you, what would you say, or could there have been anything done with that situation with the boyfriend? What would you advice you would give to moms who feels like this guy is not it? He's not right.
Right.
He's a bad
yeah.
influence. He's a bad influence.
Well, what I did was wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, it didn't work, obviously. Everything I did was totally wrong. But that I know. It was.
Yeah.
I admit it. Totally admit it. I can admit everything I did was wrong. I didn't know what I was doing. Seriously, I was the worst parent in the world. With her going through this.
And we think we're protecting. Because I'm sure I would have did, if not the exact thing, a lot of the things.
I don't know.
You know?
I talked to other moms who were different. I don't know.
More understanding?
Yeah, more understanding. I don't know. But then I have my boys who, I would have done anything for Christina. And I did do anything for her over and over and over and over and over. And she would just hurt me over and over and over and over and over again. And I don't know. And then I have my boys, like my older son, like, what are you doing, mom? What are you doing? Like, why are you a glutton for punishment with her? Like, why are you just why are you?
She's my kid.
Yeah. Nobody understood why I was just, but I would do anything for her. And so, you know. I would run. She would say, you know, I would jump when she said, and how high, and mm-hmm. I would go like, yeah.
So what
you know,
was
advice.
Told? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was told that, or what did you see going through your grief from other parents? Oh, I should have did it this way.
Yeah. Okay. So some parents were, now, granted, maybe some of those parents didn't have three other children. Mm-hmm. So maybe their life wasn't kind of as complicated. Maybe it was just one child that they had or two. I don't know. Maybe they were less busy as I was also. Mm-hmm. That could have changed the dynamic of them having more time also to to put into the relationship. To sit back and really look at what was going on. I didn't have a whole lot of time to really, let's think about this and look at this. I was react, 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 react. So I would suggest so if you have a boyfriend who's a bad influence, you know, something's going on, you know, you see a change in your child's behavior, mm-hmm. Oh, not a boyfriend, it could be a girlfriend too, but a change in your child's behavior. You think something's going on, I would just do due diligence and maybe research, check out the kid who they're with, mm-hmm. Before you start like really bringing it up to the child. Really know what you're talking about before you do, and think about how you're going to bring it up, because you know, but don't word anything or say anything that's going to put them on the defensive right off the get-go, because you know. At that age, forget
it. Attack.
They're going to hear only like anything you say, unless it's worded a certain way, is going to just push them towards that person.
Even
so it's got to be yeah. really a certain way of doing it.
Even even without drugs or just
yeah, no, being, even without
just with you being mom,
just a regular normal teenager.
Yeah, you're on attack.
Like I don't like that boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever.
And what you say is wrong, you know. Mm-hmm. So
I don't know. I would also maybe even suggest before you even bring up any conversation is reach out for help.
Okay.
Because now, and I didn't even know this, but there are so many, there's so many resources out there
uh-huh.
where you can ask for like guidance. How do you do this? What do you suggest with this? How do you, you know, that's out there that I didn't take advantage of and I didn't reach out to, and maybe they could do that.
Yeah.
To get advice on how do you think, what's the best approach, you know?
That's
and my great. Situation, the drugs did play a part in the stigma. So I didn't, outside of my family, my whole family kind of knew, but outside of that, I didn't want to reach out to anybody
mm-hmm.
outside of in the community. You know, I didn't reach out to any groups or anything. I allowed stigma to play a role and I certainly shouldn't have. And I did. And, you know, that's awful and it's shameful. And, but I did. So I didn't ask for help and that could have made a big difference as well. I could have learned so much from other parents who were going through with a child with addiction and mental health. And I could have learned so much and it might've changed the whole course and trajectory of how Christine, it could have changed everything.
Yeah.
It really could have. And I could kick myself for that
yeah.
because it really could have changed so much of how things went
mm-hmm.
with her. If I had reached out to other like groups of parents, there's groups out there. I didn't
advice.
Know. I didn't come out of my shell of my home of people.
Right. Was that more of a,
I didn't want anybody to know.
Yeah. You didn't want anyone to know what your yep. family was mm-hmm. going through.
Yep. Exactly.
Mm.
Yep.
Mm. I'm sure that's, you know, cause everybody has to have that perfect, even if it's not perfect, but we're doing okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're doing okay. So, and some things are to be left private, but other things is I need some help.
I
need some help.
I know.
So, but you did what you knew to do as a mother, you know.
I tried, but it didn't work out well.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm trying so hard to help others now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is totally my goal of why I want to help others because I didn't do this for Christina. Yeah. So I feel so strongly about helping other people.
Yeah.
Because I guess partly because of my guilt.
Yeah. Before we get into what you're starting to do, what you do for Christina, mm-hmm. a couple of questions. Were there ever like a rehab? Did she enter in
mm-hmm.
for rehab? How did that go for her? How did that?
It went okay. She liked the one rehab. There was one rehab she went to, and she did well with that one. It's a local rehab, and then she went to a couple other ones. They didn't turn out too well. She didn't like them. Like she would go and then leave,
mm-hmm.
just check herself out like a week later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then also she would like once her boyfriend died, she went to one or two of them, different ones. And I don't know, she would come home with like a boyfriend from rehab.
Wow.
And I'm like, Christina, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't meet guys at rehab.
Right.
Like they're not the, like, you know, it's not the place where you meet a boyfriend. Like they need help too.
And maybe they feel as if they understand each other.
Yeah, they do. They feel like they have that connection, but it's, they all need help. They're not, it's not there. You have to help yourself at these places. Yeah. You can't like be meeting a boyfriend
mm-hmm.
and bringing a boyfriend home kind of thing. So you know, but yeah, she went to a couple rehabs. I apologize for the background noise. I have two children running around on a Sunday
That's okay.
afternoon.
That's
But the door is locked, so they will not be barging in. I promise you
all right.
that.
That's okay.
And yeah, she did that. She did have a couple overdoses. She was Narcan'd. You know, a couple emergency rooms, visits.
Yeah.
And what else?
So there were a couple of times you thought you were going to lose her before you did. Yeah.
And again, I mean, like, you know, she would call me like in the middle of the night at like 3 in the morning and 4 in the morning. And it got to be so bad with her. She was constantly calling with her emergencies and things that I would be like, Christina, you know, and we were watching her boys. They were little babies and stuff. I'm like, Christina, you need to find your own ride home. I'm sorry. Like, she would call before wanting a ride home. And it got to the point where I'm like, Christina, we can't. We just can't. I'm sorry. You have to find your own ride home. And then I'm like, what? Like, that's just, I don't know. But anyway, you just, so, but yes, we went through a lot with her. You don't need to hear all the details. You really don't want to hear them all. But it was a lot. It was a lot. We went through a lot, ups and downs with her.
Announce.
But we have such beautiful memories of her too. And one thing I can say is she helped so many people when she would go to like her NA meetings and things when she was doing really good and she was working her program. She would help so many people. She couldn't like really help herself too much. She didn't really get herself together. But she would help all so many people in these meetings. She would guide them, she would help them, she would meet friends there, and she would be like such a guidance to them. And it amazed me, like when she died, all these people from all her meetings and things and people she met would come came to her funeral, and they all just talked highly of her and how much she was such a great person inside, and how she really helped them and everything. And that just made me feel so great, really.
That light
Yes.
that you talked about.
Yes. It was still
It
there.
was still there. It
She
was
just
still there.
couldn't grasp herself up out of it. She tried, but she couldn't. But yeah.
She still had that light. She still had that magnet.
She did. She did. Yes. Even at these meetings and groups and things where she's there trying to help people with addiction and things, and she still had that something about her. So I have to think, like, in heaven, she's helping people.
Oh, no
Either
question.
meeting people and helping people. I think all our angels are together. All these kid angels, all these young adult angels and kids and stuff. I think they're all, they ha I think there's a certain area for all these. I
Definitely. Definitely,
do.
because
I do.
a lot that you say just kind of reminds me of Alana, just that light, that magnet, that I mean, people loved her, you know, babies, I mean, she was a light. So just listening to you talk about your Christina, I'm just it has to be something about that light.
And then I think, like, well, maybe they just weren't, they weren't meant to live on this earth, this plane, for very long.
I
They
think
were
about it like
just
that.
meant to be here for a little short period of time to have that huge impact in people's lives. And then they're meant to be doing something else more powerful, more bigger. It gives me chills. I have like goosebumps.
I think about that so much, because we hear often we hear, I won't, you know, I never got to see Alana drive. All of the, you know, I couldn't see this, we can't do this, we can't do that. But, you know, were they supposed to be just the 17 years? Just the 25 years? You know, I try to wrap my mind around that, and
I know.
sometimes it
We have to
helps.
believe that. We have to believe that, because if not, we have to.
It
We
helps.
have to believe that. It helps, because just have to keep believing that every single day. Have to believe that.
Because
That that's.
we'll stay in the dumps.
Yep.
We will stay in the dumps.
Yes.
Okay, so let's get in a couple of more things before we close out. Let's get into what you are doing for your Christina. Tell me what you got going on.
Well, I so since she died, I was doing a lot of advocacy, and I learned all about the addiction and the drugs and the disease, and I took it upon myself to just really learn all about everything.
Yeah.
So I did do all that. And then I became a certified peer specialist, so I could really know, how to help people.
And what for those of us, I'm sorry for interrupting. Mm-hmm. For those of us who do not know what that is, go ahead and let us know what a peer.
Okay, so that is here. I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. Find it. It's here. Okay. They provide. I'll read it to you.
Uh huh.
Direct non-crisis supportive services to customers, which people
uh-huh.
living in agency residential programs or supported living programs or outpatient programs. They support people who have addiction or mental health services mm-hmm. and mental health issues. They're there to support them, to be an advocate for them, to guide them to find resources
uh-huh.
or meet them where they're at in their recovery. So you meet with them and then, you form like a plan, you formulate like a plan with them.
Oh, yeah.
And then, where do you see, where do you want to be? What do you want to do? And then you try to find the resources in the community and match them up, but you're not there to, so I'm not like a clinical person.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not there to be making decisions for them.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of like a team with them. Just they're making kind of the decisions. You're just kind of helping them.
Gotcha.
It's just a supportive person, but it's somebody who a peer specialist and a recovery specialist and a family specialist, they're people that who have like lived experience.
Yeah.
So they that's the difference.
Yeah. Because
all the clinical people
they
can be all clinical and
yeah.
all that. And they do need those people in their life for what they're doing in recovery, but they need somebody who really gets it. And really understands and has been through and knows what they're going through.
Definitely.
Because they can connect with them and really help them. So all the states, all across the United States, including Pennsylvania, are really, really, really putting money and funding into these peer specialists to be on the teams.
And help
like teams with, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Put the pieces of the puzzle.
Yes, exactly.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's one thing. And then I started a nonprofit. It's brand new nonprofit for Christina. And I'm just trying to, raise awareness. So it's basically everything I've been doing,
mm-hmm.
but just kind of trying to just kind of make it more catered for her and then make it more official.
Yeah.
But actually, I haven't even gotten the website up yet. I've been saying I'm going to do the website, but these kids keep me so busy. I'm like, I'll get to that website. But I do have their social media site. And mm-hmm. But I've done billboards to raise awareness of fentanyl poisoning. And I do a lot of, I do a lot of events.
Mm-hmm.
And I set up at different events and a table. And I do rallies. I've
yeah.
done rallies and
yeah.
I don't know, just different things, a
different
lot of different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Keep going.
But I want to get into the schools more if I can somehow. I want to get into start with local schools and
definitely.
Just try to get in to teach the younger kids about drug awareness at a younger age.
Yeah. Because
that's my goal too. That's a big goal of mine, to try to get in with the younger kids before high school.
Before.
Like younger kids. Yeah.
Do you think that's when Christina started, before high school? Or,
No. Yeah. But now I just think,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Because the kids now just with their social media and everything.
Oh my God.
They know everything. My 10-year-old guy, he knows a lot. They know a lot just because of Christina
mm-hmm.
and everything I do. And I had to talk, they just kind of know
right
more, but they do. No, they just know from what they see and hear on the social media and in school. They're learning stuff way too young. So you want them to hear it from the right way and from people that can really tell them about it and educate them.
And hopefully they listen.
Yeah, I know. I hope so. That's a fear. Very fear with those two. That's a fear of mine.
To be understood.
Yeah.
So for the moms that's listening who will hear this podcast, where can they, you said you had something on social media. Where can they reach you if they wanted to reach out to you?
Sure. Well, they can go to my, either they can email me at TammyGrib4@msn.com or they can reach me on the Facebook at Christina's Legacy Saving Lives. Christina's Legacy Saving Lives. And then eventually I have the website. And they can also reach my cell phone, which is 610-247-1153. But with any questions, I have tons of resources, all in Pennsylvania, and I have tons of resources across the United States because I'm in so many groups, of other parents who are all doing the same thing as me, like all other nonprofits and things. So I have a lot of resources if anybody needs them.
Great. That's going to be a huge help. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm trying.
Yes.
Trying. So it's not easy, but I'm trying.
Oh yeah. It's a journey. It's a journey.
Want to see a picture of my Christina?
I do. Gorgeous. Here's my baby. Look at those eyes. Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah. She's got big blue eyes. Where's your Alana? Can I see a picture of your Alana?
I do not have a picture on hand.
I'll have to look on your page or whatever. Yep. I want to see your beautiful Alana. Okay.
She's on my page.
Oh, I want to see her now. She sounds like a beautiful light. I can't wait to see her. I'll check her out.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So my last question that I ask all my mamas before we wrap up, I want to know from you, Tammy, what are your hopes of heaven?
Oh gosh, I love this question. And this is coming around. I forgot about the question. I haven't thought about it. You mentioned it and I said, oh, I love this question. And I haven't put any more thought into it.
Yeah, that's okay.
My hopes for heaven? Of course they are to see Christina right away.
Right away.
Instantly. I just cannot wait to see her and hug her and smell her.
Yeah.
And smell her hair and smell her, everything about her. Feel her face and feel her features and fingers and just everything. And like, never, like, just hug her, never let her go. And just see the rest of my family, my mom and dad. And I just want it to be how I imagine it to be.
Yeah.
I hope it's how I imagine it to be.
And even more.
Even more. I hope I'm not wrong. No. And everything I've learned and how I imagine it, I hope I'm not wrong.
So no, that's all we got. That's all we got.
Yeah. I hope it's just beautiful and spiritual. And I hope that I can, when I'm there, visit and see and you know, check in on all my family members that remain, you know? So.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Tammy, I love your hopes of heaven.
Yeah.
So
that's a great question though.
I use that just to get people to think and to hope and to, you know, just because what we deal with is so, so I bring that question just to get that little bit of hope going.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good.
So
great way to end it.
Yeah. Definitely. I want to thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, just a pleasure. Wonderful.
It was nice talking to you.
Yeah. Hearing your journey and hearing about your Christina. Thank you for letting us love on her today. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. You're welcome.
You take care. Have a good rest of your Sunday.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we're going to wrap up. If there's any moms out there that's listening who are interested of having your story told on the show, just reach out to me, Facebook, Instagram, Alana Song. make sure you go out to the website, alanasongstore.com, and grab you some Angel merch. If you're not an Angel Mom, I'm sure you know one. So just go ahead on the website and grab whatever you need. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Bye-bye. You.